Good morning, everyone. My name is Dirk Müller. I'm distinguished engineer for SUSE. And normally, David Cassani would be here but together with me, but unfortunately, he was unable to travel. So I'm the only person here for now. I would like to talk about an open source project called Elemental, more specifically the Elemental 3 version. So it's a major new version that is basically a full rewrite, and how to build an image-based operating system with that, OpenSUSE-based. And the initial question that you might want, that might be on your mind, is why to do that, right? So there's, we heard about it before, there's Tumbleweed, there's its variant Slow Roll, there's OpenSUSE Leap and so on, and the MicroS variants of distributions. And they all come with a lot of packages that provide a lot of flexibility. You can install, you cannot install a particular package, you can configure it, you cannot configure it. So you can tinker and modify it in as much as you like. And this versatility, however, comes at a cost, right? So you need to track and manage that. On the other side, there's this small open source project called Kubernetes, where everything is basically a resource definition that usually refers to immutable containers. So applications are shipped as containers. And the idea that we had is that why not ship the operating system also as a container? Some people call like everything in Kubernetes is YAML, so it's a declaration of resources. And what if the operating system would be just yet another pod on your Kubernetes cluster, like built entirely out of OCI containers, assembled and so on? And what if like this operating system pod could be used to self-apply updates, for example? And Elemental is the goal of Elemental is to build that bridge. What are the advantages of shipping your operating system in containers? So we talked briefly about the disadvantages. The advantages are you can version it like yet any other container. So for example, you can give it a tag. You can refer to a particular build of the operating system with its digest, which makes it very suitable for precise versioning. That means a deployment is very consistent and extremely reliable. A deployment done yesterday or the week before or a month before is the same like the deployment today. That means you can pre-validate a particular update, or you can pre-validate a rollout in another cluster, and you can be quite sure that the actual deployment will be going the same way. Additionally, if the operating system is a container, well, you can just run it as a container. So you can launch it on any other operating system and inspect it, like how the user land actually is laid out. And you can test particular properties of it before deploying it, for example. And containers, by nature, are meant to be deployed in an immutable or unmodifiable fashion. So it's a natural fit, I would say. However, we just talked about like the operating system being the special one-off thing, other than the Kubernetes resources. But normally, you don't want to just deploy an operating system or just deploy Kubernetes. You actually want to build an entire application stack, which means you want to define the Kubernetes distribution. There are several variants available. You want to define which core services, which selection of core services you want to have deployed. Kubernetes provides standardized interfaces to plug in additional components via CSIs or storage, network, and so on, and you want to select those as well. Similarly, you want to select what are actually the middlewares and the applications that you want to have deployed on top of Kubernetes. And ideally, you want to do that all together so that you can test it together, deliver it in the very same way, and then have a very repeatable deployment paradigm. So Elemental is trying to achieve that for you. It allows you to declare the entire deployment. This means you can define which Linux kernel that you want to pick. You can define which version of the host operating system you want to pick. You can specify the network configuration for each of the physical nodes, for example. You can do the normal things like users, password, credentials, SSH keys, stuff like that. You can also, in a very limited fashion, extend the base operating system with extensions. We call them systemd extensions. And for example, obviously, you can also specify which particular Kubernetes version you want to have deployed. And of course, all of that on top included, right? So the Helm charts and so on that you want to have deployed on the cluster initially, these can be declared as well. And Elemental allows you to combine all of that into one installable, like a bootable installation artifact. Of course, we allow you to tinker with the system, so you can. We provide a couple of hooks, so you can modify the configuration of RK2, for example, because the default configuration might not be good enough for you. You can specify node pools. Node pools allow you to specify which nodes become control plane nodes and which nodes become worker nodes, or give them a special role, for example, for your application. You can also like just specify drop-ins, which are additional resource definitions that can be deployed. And of course, you can specify the list of charts that you want to do. So how would a deployment using Elemental actually look like in practice? So we are starting with the declaration of your deployment. And once you're sufficiently happy with that, you can run Elemental through a customization step. So the customization step takes all the deployment definition that you have, it fetches all the artifact, the assets that are referenced from it, and then produces a bootable artifact out of it. It could be a raw disk image, it can be an installation, an ISO media, basically. And then you can use this ISO media, either via like a virtual media or like your USB thumb drive, and install it on one of the nodes. And then you can boot that node. And then you use the very same stick, the very same installation media, to install another node and boot the other node. And then these two nodes will be able to join a Kubernetes cluster automatically. So how do I get started with Elemental? The first step that you have to do is to call, or you can do, is calling Elemental init. Init gives you like a very bare-bone initial configuration layout. The configuration layout consists of a couple of files that I'm currently going over. So there's a Boutane YAML, which is the standard configuration format Boutane that is used for defining first boot configuration. You can use, for example, this to specify users or services or SSH keys to include in the node deployment. The install YAML is used to define the image installation parameters. There's a directory created Kubernetes in which you can drop all the Kubernetes definitions. You can add cluster resources and so on in there. Similarly, we are creating a directory called network, which is for dropping in your network manager configuration for each of the nodes. And there is a release YAML. The release YAML is the main file. That one specifies which components you actually want to have included in your installation media. The release YAML can reference a published manifest. So the manifest can basically include a catalog of components that you can pick and choose from. So the entire manifest gives you all the options. And for your deployment, you're picking a sub-selection of these options. You can do that basically in the components part, and I unfortunately left it out from the slides because it didn't fit. Basically, you have a list below there where you select very high level, very coarse, the component that you want to have included in the base operating system. How does such a manifest look like? This is an example. This is very similar to the release definition. It iterates on the options that you have for the operating system, the options that you have for the Kubernetes deployment, as well as you can specify which systemd extensions are available and where to fetch them from, as well as like any Helm charts and so on that you want to make available as additional components. All of these components are being provided as containers. So you only need to mirror, including the manifest itself, so you only need to mirror an e-registry. In addition, there's the install YAML. That one allows you to define basic parameters about the image. You can, for example, specify which type of image you want, raw or ISO image. You can specify installation locations, for example. You can customize, modify the kernel command line if you want to. Similarly, you can specify whether the system should be deployed in FIPS mode or in the standard crypto mode. And then all of this assets can be used in the customized step. So we give you an option to extend the operating system image with systemd extensions. Systemd extensions, if you are familiar with Kubernetes, is very similar to like a sidecar, basically. And these are built using MKOSI in the Open Build Service. And there's actually a talk right after my talk that goes into further details about that. Technically, how this works is that it's an overlay mounted on top of your /usr. And that one is one example where we are using it. We use it to inject our elemental free control command, which is a small utility that is embedded in the operating system that we use to lifecycle manage the node. How does the deployed system then actually look like? It's a standard secure boot enabled system. So we have an EFI system partition, pretty standard stuff. It's a large partition, so it's prepared for the bootloader specification. However, we currently do not have support for that right now. Afterwards, there is a recovery partition. That one includes a squashed copy of the operating system image. That can be just booted for rescue purposes. In the normal system operation, this partition will never be used, but it's very useful for like disaster recovery, basically. So when the normal system, for whatever reason, cannot be recovered anymore, you still have a recovery partition to fall back to. Then afterwards, there's an ignition partition. The ignition partition includes the first boot configuration, which was transpiled from the Boutane YAML that you have specified beforehand. And it includes like a couple of additional components as well. And then the main part of the first disk is the operating system partition. That's a standard butterfs file system partition. And it uses or it follows similar paradigms to the MICROS family of products, which means it has a read-only snapshot at slash or a root file system, which includes a nested read-writable etc snapshot. These snapshots are atomically updated as part of the operating system upgrade process and managed via snapper. So you have the usual behavior where you can roll back to a previous snapshot should you have the need to do so. In addition, you have a couple of read-write subvolumes that are not part of the snapshot, basically. In order to manage the upgrade, we are providing a component called Elemental Lifecycle Manager. The Elemental Lifecycle Manager is an operator that runs in Kubernetes, and it orchestrates cluster-wide upgrades. It can be triggered or configured by a release resource that is available in your cluster. I have a link in there to where the full explanation of the workflow is. It doesn't really fit on a slide. So I just want to highlight the phases. So we have orchestrated the upgrade in three phases. The first phase is the operating system update. That can be done in two steps, only the control plane nodes, then the rest of the nodes. The rest of the nodes will be trained and rebooted like in sequence, basically. And once that phase is complete, the Kubernetes upgrade, if there is one prepared or scheduled, can be performed. The reason why we are doing that in two phases instead of one is that we want to give you the option to recover in case there's like some hardware-specific problem with the operating system update or whatever, some unforeseen incident. Because it's really easy to roll back the operating system, it's significantly harder to roll back your Kubernetes cluster. So we separated out the operating system basically in the first phase. And then in the third phase, we give you the option to upgrade also additional components that are in your Kubernetes cluster. How do we implement this overall? I already alluded to it. There's the cluster-wide lifecycle manager, which orchestrates the upgrade process between the nodes. So it dispatches them, basically. And then the individual node upgrades are being performed by the elemental free control systemd extension that is embedded in each of the nodes. I would like to go briefly to another part where I have a pre-recorded demo. Just going to run. I'm starting with a configuration checkout of Elemental. And here I'm launching the customization step. As you can see here very briefly, it fetches artifacts from the OpenSUSE registry and then combines them into an installation media. In this case, it's a raw disk image that I need to resize a bit so that it has enough free disk space available afterwards. And then I'm just launching this in a virtual machine. You will see a lot of noise on the screen. It doesn't really matter that much. It's the standard boot process, basically, that you can see in the serial console. And as part of the boot process, it will, in the background, start to apply the first boot configuration and start the Kubernetes cluster, because this is the initial node, so the seed node, basically, of the Kubernetes cluster. It is supposed to show the login, which it doesn't. But now I'm already logged into the booted node. You can see the one system extension that I referred to already multiple times. You can see the partition layout that is in multiple ButterFS subvolumes, basically. And you can see that there's already like a Kubernetes being initialized. So you can see it's pending initialization. And if you have used ArcGIS before, you know it, it has a small dropper binary, but it fetches like a couple of gigabytes of containers on first start. So this takes a couple of minutes. And after a couple of minutes, basically, we have a fully running, very basic Kubernetes system on a single node. And I want to have full screen again. It's here. So for the people who want to tinker with the system, we do include something called Toolbox. Toolbox is another open source component that comes from the Micros community originally, I think, or I don't know, it's also available there. It's a way to launch a persistently managed OpenSUSE Tumbleweed container. So you can just launch it. And then within the container, you have a standard Tumbleweed installation. You can install packages. You can also tinker with the host operating system because it's mounted, reverse mounted, basically inside this container as well. You can also do persistent changes in there that are staying around for repeated invocations, basically. What is our status currently? Very high level, we solved all the easy problems. Now comes the hard problems. What we're currently focused on is AirGap. AirGap means we are giving you the option to install or to embed all the assets that are needed to complete a full installation, which should improve reliability of the installation process. So it both improves the performance because all the assets don't need to be fetched on first boot from the network, but they are already available on the local disk, basically. Which really means your maintenance windows get significantly shorter and you don't have to like watch some progress bar like very slowly fetching the container updates for you. Also, it means DNS cannot fail on you, and DNS failures are probably the main reason for like instabilities in like processes, so if everything is local, it should be more reliable. On the other side is you can be very sure that everything is available. Right? So there's no outage or there's no unavailability or unexpected change in the assets that you would have to fetch otherwise from the registry that can affect your deployment. So you're fully autonomous in the upgrade process. Other parts that we are working on based on like initial user feedback is optimizations for cloud and virtual machine deployments. We were initially targeting predominantly like hardware deployments or physical deployments, like for edge nodes and stuff like that. And we realized that for virtual machine deployments, we can produce a significantly smaller base container or base image, operating system image, because we don't need to embed that much hardware into drivers and stuff like that. Similarly, for cloud environments, we wanted to give you the option to customize the personalization of the first boot via the normal cloud-based like metadata injection and so on. That's being worked on as well. Last but not least, we also want to catch up on a couple of things that other variants already have, like the full disk encryption and measured boot, which yeah is currently being worked on. One thing that we are really happy about is we had made a really good prototype, but it's not yet available in the Elemental free version, is using partial image transfer for updating. So you have multiple ways of optimizing the download or the incremental download of the container images, which tend to be relatively large. One part is that you have like derived builds, and that means that the locally copy of the containers would only have to fetch the additional layer that is on top of what has been already previously downloaded. Another way of doing that is you can do a partial image transfer with a method called setStandardChunked. This is available out of the box with Podman, for example, and it allows you to fetch only the part of a single layer that you actually need compared to a layer, previous version of a layer that you have already downloaded. And this is a really large efficiency gain. It fetches them with HTTP range requests, so it's also from a network perspective quite efficient. And it allows them to locally reconstruct the new layer just based on this delta information. The reason why this is quite efficient is because you can resync basically the parts that you fetch on a file-by-file level rather than like a package-by-package level like you would do in a normal distribution. So especially for things like kernel, which are like one package more or less but have like thousands of files, that brings a quite significant advantage. And with that, I'm already at the end of the presentation. I would like to open for some questions, if there are any. I also... Go ahead. I also have some links for you. For Elemental, we have a landing page with the documentation and stuff like that for Elemental Lifecycle Manager and also the GitHub repository. Neil.
Yeah, so I saw, as you were talking about the architecture for the layout for the operating system image on disk, I noticed you used SquashFS for the recovery image on top of an X4. Why did you choose to do that instead of essentially using a snapshot clone from the volume on initial install for the reset? Like, that would have been less space allocated, yep. More flexible storage, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So the base operating system by itself, the SquashFS, is not huge, right?
Okay.
So compared to like what you need to install or have on the system for a Kubernetes installation, it's not a significant burden. The reason why we chose to go with a completely separate partition is so that we have the flexibility, should there be anything with the main operating system partition, so the ButterFS volume, for whatever reason, right? It could be hardware defect, whatever the reason is, fatal outage of the software or whatever, you have like a completely isolated recovery partition. You don't have to use it, but it's maybe the one thing that you want to fall back to in case nothing else works anymore.
Would a separate ButterFS partition would have also worked for that purpose? Because then you
sure.
could have just sent from one
yes.
side to the other.
Yes. It could have been another ButterFS partition as well. There's
okay.
there's no particular reason why we chose X4. Could have been ButterFS as well.
So that sounds very interesting. If I get the idea right, the end goal would be to manage the OS updates by this lifecycle manager that is running in the Kubernetes layer. And you don't need to do all the manual stuff under the hood because it does that for you.
Correct.
By leveraging images that you build with the Elemental toolkit.
Yep. And the images are really pre-validated for this one purpose. Right? So it's not a general purpose operating system. It's a specific operating system. The demo that I was showing you is just a very small subset of Tumbleweed. It's like significantly smaller, like even micros, which by itself is a smaller subset. But it's only targeted for this one use case, Kubernetes, basically.
So, and you can tailor
or running containers in general.
And right. You can tailor it to your needs and include only the things that you need to in your specific environment.
Correct.
By managing your own images.
Yep.
Are there plans to replace these very long and nasty podman commands with something, including it into the distribution, so you can call Elementor
yep.
Toolkit directly?
Of course. So I quoted the very nasty long podman command so that you can run it actually on any operating system, because the issue is that for some of the customization steps, you do need to have particular tools available in particular right number of versions. And initial user feedback showed us like, okay, running it on like, I don't know, a 15-year-old third-party operating system didn't quite work. So we made a solution that works for everyone. Elementor Free as a tool is available in OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. So if you are a Tumbleweed user, for example, you don't have to use the nasty podman command. You can just use Elementor, basically.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Hi. So good talk. And
thank you.
Great technology. One of the things that I find myself running into with this, and I asked Andreas about this in the keynote, is that this sort of it expects a pipeline discipline.
Mm-hmm.
What are the tools that you're working to integrate here with more than to establish that discipline? I mean, I feel like, as someone in this community for a long time, I feel like
yep.
we have a little discipline, but not, but our customers don't.
I understand. So I was predominantly only talking about Elementor. Obviously, that's one piece of the puzzle. There are other pieces around that you need to rightfully refer to it. So ideally, you would have like a CI/CD deployment pipeline. There are many solutions for that in the market, we don't want to like prescribe you on like it's not a monolithic solution, right? So it's a component that you can combine into like managing your larger scale deployment.
And then the lifecycle manager is your easy street. Is that what I'm understanding?
It's one. So you don't have to use it, right? You can avoid using it. We do recommend to use it because we are testing with it basically, so we can guarantee like in the commercial version that this update will succeed. Elementor by itself is suited to be run as like a GitHub Action, for example. Okay, I'm being told the time's up. Feel free to catch up with me later. Thank you.